What's going on, everyone? And welcome back to the D Lloyd NBA podcast presented by CLNS Media, the online leading provider of audio and video content. I'm, of course, your host, Devin Lloyd, and today, the episode for Tuesday, October 9th. Now, today we have some news. I want to go over quite a few stories, separate stories that we will be going over one by one. The big one, of course, Anthony Davis and the five teams that could be on his list as possible destinations. We, of course, will be going over the game recaps from last night in today's episode and then the schedule moving forward. That will also be at the end of the episode. But first, we'll go ahead and go over some news stories that occurred yesterday. The big one from the San Antonio Spurs was DeJounte Murray. Officially, he was diagnosed with a torn ACL in his right knee. Now, DeJounte Murray going out, definitely a huge blow for the San Antonio Spurs, a team that had aspirations of trying to make the playoffs. You were looking at maybe between the 8th and the 6th seed for the San Antonio Spurs. But now losing DeJounte Murray, that is going to be a huge blow. Patty Mills, he will take over now as the team's primary point guard. You will have to start thinking, if you're San Antonio, are you going to start looking elsewhere to fill that point guard spot? Because you really don't have a lot of depth. Your point guard room looks extremely limited at this point. I like Patty Mills. I don't see him as the guy you want all day, 30-plus minutes a game, handling the ball for you. I just don't see him as that type of player. I like him in small doses. And for the Spurs, you do have to maybe consider looking elsewhere, either looking at free agency or looking to somehow try to pull off a trade to get a point guard if you still believe you have an opportunity to make the playoffs. Now, we know Greg Popovich, a great coach, he can make almost anything work. So maybe he has an idea of how he's going to move forward with the current roster that he has. But losing a 6'6 point guard with the defensive abilities like DeJounte Murray, who was still extremely young, he said he was ready to take over more of a leadership role, that is definitely going to hurt the San Antonio Spurs. And all of a sudden, you start looking at that playoff streak that they have, and they're definitely in danger of missing that without DeJounte Murray. That is a huge blow. Now, they haven't said the timeline yet of exactly how long he will be out. Typically, you're looking between 7 and 11 months from a torn ACL in terms of recovery and rehab time. You can also have surgery, which sometimes shortens that by a few months. And right now, the Spurs, they are looking at every single option. So they haven't ruled out surgery. They also haven't ruled out the more traditional rehab, which will take him almost close to a year to recover. If they go that route, he will certainly be out for the entire season. Even if he has surgery, it's still looking like he can very well miss the entire season. Some people are holding out hope he can return late in the year. It's going to be extremely tough. You never want to rule out anything. He's 22, very young. Maybe he can recover quicker than most, but it's definitely going to be tough to come back. So I would assume right now, and the Spurs should also act moving forward, that they won't have DeJounte Murray for the entire season. Definitely going to be tough. I like him. He beat out Tony Parker last season for the starting point guard position. But this year, he's not going to be playing a whole lot. And that's definitely a tough blow for the San Antonio Spurs. Moving on to another guy who ended up getting fired, still in the Western Conference. The Phoenix Suns, they fired general manager Ryan Donahue last night. And Ryan Donahue, if you don't know, he's been the general manager since 2013. And over that time, some people in the organization weren't the biggest fans, to say the least, of Ryan Donahue at all. Quite a few people really did not like him too much. And they looked at the moves that he's been making, and they haven't been a huge fan of draft picks. You look at Josh Jackson. Yes, he's coming into form. They weren't a big fan of how he performed during his rookie campaign. You look at players like Alex Len, that was selected extremely high in the draft, ended up being a bust, no longer even a member of the team. Of course, so far, it looks like you're going to have a hit with DeAndre Ayton, but you don't get a lot of credit if you're Ryan Donahue for that, because DeAndre Ayton was almost unanimously the number one overall pick. Yes, you had some other guys that you could have considered at number one, but the majority had DeAndre Ayton as the number one pick. He was safe, the safest pick in terms of size. You can't teach that. You know how he plays. His game should translate well. And of course, it looks like a slam dunk, as he's been looking very, very good so far this season. So you can't give him a ton of credit for that. But one thing that he did do this summer was he got rid of the point guards, and they don't have a suitable point guard in return. So when you got rid of Elfrid Payton, when you got rid of Brandon Knight, basically what you were saying is that we believe that we could trade for a point guard before the start of the season. However, when you do that, teams aren't going to give you a point guard so cheaply. If they know you need to get a point guard and you don't have one, they're going to start asking for a lot. So what we've been hearing has typically been the asking price, regardless of who they ask for, has been their first round draft pick. Now, for the Phoenix Suns, they're not quite there yet. So their first round draft pick is a lottery pick. I don't see them making the playoffs, regardless of who they get. So it should be a lottery draft pick, which is a very, very highly demanded pick. So a lot of teams are going to want that. For the Phoenix Suns, they weren't willing to give that up. But what else are you going to give up that's going to land you a point guard when teams know that you want a point guard? So moves like that is definitely what ultimately cost him his job. The Phoenix Suns are looking around. They called out and reached out to Steve Nash. He doesn't want to be part of the day-to-day delegations of that job. He says he will help out, you know, in any other capacity as a consultant. He just doesn't want to be a part of the day-to-day for Phoenix. You also want to look at other guys. Ryan Griffin, his name should pop up. The former general manager for the Cleveland Cavaliers, his name could come up. Whoever inherits this team, they have a very, very solid base with DeAndre Ayton and with Devin Booker. You can't even throw in Josh Jackson. He looks like he is getting much better. They have a solid base there, and you can definitely work on everything else. I think for the Phoenix Suns, a very important 1 to 2 seasons. If they could get things right in these next 2 years, we may be looking at Phoenix as a dominant team in the Western Conference a few years from now. Of course, once Golden State, their dynasty starts to come down a little bit, some other teams start to come down a little bit, the Phoenix Suns could have next if they have solid roster foundation moves moving forward for the next few seasons. So it's very important that they get the right general manager in there. I do agree that Ryan Donahue wasn't the best general manager in the world, so I don't have any issues with them firing him. The timing could have been a little off. You fired him just 9 days before the start of the regular season, so that wasn't the most ideal timing in the world. But at the same time, you basically looking forward to the future. You're trying to get a general manager. You would have to assume they have some in mind if they made this move at this point of the season. But anything can happen. That is definitely some huge news. Now, some news that came out this morning. We're going to be talking about Anthony Davis. Yes, he is still under contract for 2 more seasons. Nobody knows exactly what's going to happen. He has been making some moves that is starting to raise some eyebrows. But according to Chris Sheridan, it looks like there are 5 teams that are on Anthony Davis's list of teams that he would not mind playing for. When you look at those teams, they are the Boston Celtics, the Los Angeles Lakers, the New Orleans Pelicans are still there, the New York Knicks, and the Philadelphia 76ers, all of which you could immediately say is a good fit. But any team that Anthony Davis goes to is going to be a good fit. Anthony Davis can fit into any system, any scheme. He is that type of player. Of course, the former first overall draft pick has 2 years left on his deal that he signed. He's going to be getting paid $25 million this year. He's going to be getting paid $27 million after that. Then he has a player option worth $29 million in 2020, 2021, but we don't expect him to really reach that unless he signs the Supermax in 2019, which he is eligible to do. One of the reasons why we are now speculating that he could be potentially leaving, of course, he fired his longtime agent and signed Rich Paul of Clutch Sports. Rich Paul, LeBron James' friend, that automatically we start getting the connections to the Lakers because Rich Paul basically has contact with his new client, which is Anthony Davis. He also has contact with the Los Angeles Lakers and through LeBron James and through other players like Caldwell Pope, who's with the Lakers. So automatically people are going to assume the Los Angeles Lakers as a team that he's going to go to. Some people believe it's already set in stone that he will end up a Laker at some point next season, either trade before the trade deadline this season or traded during the offseason next season and become a Laker. A lot of people truly believe Anthony Davis will suit up in L.A. I believe there's a very good chance that he ends up in L.A. I'm not going to say it's set in stone, but I do think that is the preference. I do think that is what things are leaning towards, but you cannot rule out the Boston Celtics, who also have a team, and they also have interest in Anthony Davis. So that interest is definitely mutual. You just don't have that same line of communication indirectly that you have with the Lakers through Rich Paul. So Anthony Davis going to the Celtics, that will be an extremely good fit. Of course, you have to move on from Al Horford, but when you're bringing in a player like Anthony Davis, you're not worried about moving on from Al Horford at that point, because AD could do every single thing on the court, and he's arguably top three, maybe. He has a good argument to say he's the best player in the NBA right now. So Anthony Davis, a player that a lot of teams are going to want to get their hands on. We're going to see how this is going to play out, because it's extremely interesting. With 2 years left on your deal, of course, you play out this season, unless the season goes terribly for the Pelicans. I think he will be a member of New Orleans for this year. Now, if it goes bad in terms of they have one of the worst records in the Western Conference type of bad, then maybe we do look at New Orleans as possibly trading Anthony Davis before the trade deadline. The only reason I would say that is because if you know he's going to leave, Anthony Davis just wants to win. And if you know he's going to leave or have a very good idea that he is going to leave, don't you need to get something back from Anthony Davis before you allow him to leave your franchise? You have a player like that who you invested a lot of money in, who you spent the first overall pick in. You cannot allow him to leave and you get absolutely nothing back in return. You have to get something. Either as young players, draft assets, something needs to come back in return if you feel that Anthony Davis is going to request a trade or he's simply going to leave at the end of these next 2 years. You need to get something back. So definitely, you do have teams that's going to be in the running. The Philadelphia 76ers, I think, is a little bit more of a reach. The New York Knicks, they're going to have the money. The New York Knicks, they're definitely trying to get another star to pair up with Kristaps Porzingis. Maybe it's Anthony Davis, and they have another formidable front court. But I do think right now the top team is the Lakers. The number two team is the Boston Celtics. And then I will still have New Orleans ahead of the Knicks and the Philadelphia 76ers. But it's definitely going to be interesting to watch what happens. He is eligible for the Supermax in 2019. So the Pelicans do have an advantage when it comes to that. They could pay him more money than anybody else. And maybe if that is a priority, that would be great. It looks like the priority is actually winning more than the money. So if that's the case, you still have LA, you have Boston. Those could be two teams very well in the running to try to get Anthony Davis. Now, we had a ton of games last night, so we're going to quickly go through these recaps here because there was a ton of games while we were actually recording yesterday's episode. The Dallas Mavericks, the Philadelphia 76ers started at 5 a.m. Pacific time where we are, and that game went off extremely early. It was played in China, of course. The Dallas Mavericks end up winning 115 to 112 in that one. But the Philadelphia 76ers, yes, they lost their first preseason game. They still look like one of the teams to beat in the Eastern Conference. When you take a look at what they did out on the court, Ben Simmons did everything once again. He had 10 points. He had 7 turnovers, which you definitely don't want it to be that high. But he did have 6 assists, had 9 rebounds, had a very good game. Markelle Fultz struggled shooting. I think that's going to be really inconsistent, to say the least, this season. Going to be very, very up and down. J.J. Redick, we know he could get hot. He is coming off of the bench. It will be interesting to see how they do J.J. Redick and Markelle Fultz moving forward. It looks like Markelle Fultz will be the starter, but it looks like J.J. Redick will be playing more minutes than Markelle Fultz. And most importantly, it looks like J.J. Redick will be finishing games for Philadelphia over Markelle Fultz. Players, yes, you want to start, but you don't want to be on that bench in the final five minutes of a game. You want to be out there playing, and it looks like Markelle Fultz may be the one on the bench with J.J. Redick out there playing. I wouldn't disagree with that, though. He's been playing better than me so far this preseason. Still a way more consistent shooter, and he could get hot like he did the other day and start knocking down three after three after three. That is definitely going to be dangerous. Joel Embiid, he's still Embiid, had 29 points in 28 minutes, has 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals. It's Joel Embiid, one of the best big men in the NBA. He played like it last night. For the Dallas Mavericks, Dennis Smith Jr., he had 10 points. Luka Doncic, though, he led the way with 15 points. He shot 3 of 5 from the 3-point line, had 5 assists, had 4 rebounds. So Luka Doncic, a rookie, but he's been looking very solid. Has some games that you see, you know, him being a rookie, him making some rookie mistakes. But overall, Luka Doncic is looking like he's going to have a very, very solid season for the Dallas Mavericks. Going on to the next game, you have the Chicago Bulls and the Charlotte Hornets. The Hornets end up winning 110 to 104 in that one. So definitely a pretty good matchup. Zach LaVine went off with 26 points in that ball game, had 4 rebounds as well, played 25 minutes. Zach LaVine has been living up to that big deal that he signed in the offseason. People were wondering if he was going to be overpaid. He said he wasn't worried about it. He earned that contract, and he's still showing that he's earning that contract. Jabari Parker hasn't really lit it up so far in preseason, but it's still preseason. He could still, you know, get more comfortable with the system, figure out his role as a player. He played 27 minutes. He had 9 points. He did have 11 rebounds, which was great to see, but he still looks somewhat lost while out there on the court. So hopefully Jabari Parker can get everything figured out in the long run. But everybody else looked pretty solid. Wendell Carter, he struggled a little bit. Only made 1 shot from the field. He had 3 points. But Bobby Portis, coming off of the bench, played way more than Robin Lopez. Played 26 minutes. Had 17 points, 8 rebounds. Bobby Portis definitely is going to look great for the Chicago Bulls this season. Of course, no Lauri Markkanen. He's still out with the sprained right elbow, so he did not play. Of course, you want to expect that preseason. A lot of these guys who probably could play if they needed to aren't going to play for the Hornets. Everybody kind of looked good, but Kemba Walker, still Kemba Walker. 20 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists in this game. Still a top 10 point guard. Marvin Williams looked good. Jeremy Lamb still being one of the biggest surprises, at least to me, so far this preseason. He is looking like he is ready to maybe be the number two option in Charlotte. He has 16 points, shot 6 of 11 from the field, 2 of 4 from the 3-point line, 6 rebounds, 2 assists last night. Looked very good. He's been looking good for a lot of these games. Malik Monk coming off of the bench. We know how much he could score when he was at Kentucky. He's been struggling so far in the NBA, but we see the potential there. Yesterday, he had 13 points on 5 of 14 shooting. He looked okay. You see the glimpses of him becoming a very solid scorer, but he just has to put the whole thing together. Once again, Tony Parker struggled, did not get a single point, but Tony Parker just looks off in Charlotte. He looks weird because, one, he's in a Charlotte Hornets uniform, and two, he just doesn't look 100% comfortable playing in that system so far, and definitely looks like he misses being in San Antonio. Now with the injury, San Antonio may miss not having Tony Parker. Going on to the next game, you have the Indiana Pacers defeating the Cleveland Cavaliers 111-102. In this one, Indiana looked very, very good. You have the entire team that's going to put up points, but Victor Oladipo still clearly the leader. 28 minutes, had 23 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals. Victor Oladipo is clearly the guy in Indiana, but the entire team, they all play very, very good. You had Sabonis coming off of the bench. He contributed 16 points. You had Evans. He came off the bench. He had 14 points. It looked good. TJ Leaf, he looked very, very good. Better than his stat line suggests. He had 13 points, but he had 6 rebounds. He's able to spread out the floor for you a little bit. He could do a lot that the Pacers are going to want him to do. Indiana, a lot of people don't really talk about them in the East, but they're definitely a topper half team in that Eastern Conference. You're looking at a seeds 5 and up, I think, for the Pacers. I don't think they're quite Boston and quite 76ers category You may put them a peg under Toronto, but after that, the Pacers and Milwaukee, I think they're definitely in that same category in the Eastern Conference. For Cleveland, they just struggle shooting the basketball. They definitely struggle shooting. They had their spurts where they did hit, but other than that, really not a lot of bright spots in the game. Colin Sexton, he struggled shooting, was 1-for-7, but the main thing with Colin Sexton, he's going to have that drive. He's going to always play as hard as he can, but you're going to have to deal with nights where he's not going to shoot the best. George Hill, yes, he had 10 points, but he's still been struggling to me. I do not like the way George Hill has been looking this season. Definitely going to be tough to depend on him all the way. Chetty Osman, I think he is going to be very good this season for Cleveland. I am one of those guys think he will have somewhat of a breakout season. I don't think he'll be an all-star, but I think he'll have somewhat of a breakout year. Only played 7 minutes last night, but he did have 5 points, 2-for-4 shooting, and hit a three in those 7 minutes. Sam Decker, he had 10 points. Larry Nance Jr., he had 8 points as well. The leading scorer was Kyle Korver, coming off the bench, had 17, hit 4 3-pointers, so that definitely helps out the cause. But overall, there was no Kevin Love, no Channing Frye, no Jordan Clarkson, no Rodney Hood, no David Nwaba last night. None of them played. Tristan Thompson, he did come off of the bench, had 7 rebounds, 7 points. But Cleveland just didn't look that great last night. I think they'll look better on certain days. The main takeaway of this one, though, was the Indiana Pacers and how they continue to look pretty good out here in preseason. The next game, we have the Brooklyn Nets and the Detroit Pistons. The Nets end up winning in overtime, 110-108. So a very, very close contested game. Brooklyn, though, they came away with it in this one. When you look at it, D'Angelo Russell, he's the guy. You're going to have to deal with some ups and downs throughout the season, but he did have 25 points, played 32 minutes. A lot of starters played big-time minutes in this one from the Brooklyn Nets. 25 points, though, definitely good to see. Hit 5 threes. He did attempt 13, but he hit 5 threes, which is also promising. Only 1 assist, but D'Angelo Russell just turning into the primary scorer for Brooklyn. We know he could pass, but for whatever reason, once he came from Ohio State to the NBA, just doesn't really pass the ball as often as most would like, but he's definitely has a nice stroke. You know, his jump shot is very, very nice, and when he's feeling it, he's hitting a lot of it. Some days you have to go with them being cold and not hitting, but those are the ups and downs that you will get from D'Angelo Russell. You had Allen. He put in 17 points for you. Most importantly, had 9 rebounds. Damari Carroll, he looked decent. Caris LeVert, he looked like he is ready to have a better season as well. Has 17 points for you, 7-for-14 shooting. Also contributed 8 assists. He was more the ball handler, playmaker for the team last night. Also had 9 rebounds. So very, very close to that triple-double. He looked very, very good. Spencer Dinwiddie, he struggled shooting the ball, but you know he's going to play a huge role for the team this season. He was 2-for-10, only had 5 points in 21 minutes. But like I said, you don't expect that every single night. Looking at the Detroit Pistons, you're still in love with the front court situation. Blake Griffin, he has 17-9. Andre Drummond had 14-10. They both looked very solid last night. Blake Griffin, he will play at least 30, 32, 33 minutes per game once the regular season begins. Only played 21 minutes last night. He looked good. The front court is very, very solid. The questionable part is the back court of the Detroit Pistons. Still didn't look that good last night. You had Langston Galloway, who came off the bench. He had 24 points. More of a volume shooting type of night for Langston Galloway, but he looked like the best player out there. Reggie Jackson, he struggled shooting the ball. He struggled with turnovers. He struggled really just looking like the guy who's supposed to lead the Detroit Pistons. And I wouldn't be surprised if we get a lot more Reggie Jackson trade rumors before the trade deadline. I don't know if teams will be interested, especially at his salary. But definitely, I don't think the Pistons are feeling Reggie Jackson. I think he's just there for GP at this point. But I think he definitely is going to need to go from the Detroit Pistons at some point. Luke Kennard, he did get the start. Had 5 points, 2-for-4 shooting from the field. Ish Smith came off the bench, gave you 36 minutes. But he struggled shooting as well. 3-for-13, 2-from-8 from the three-point line. But like I said, the backcourt, definitely the most questionable part of the Detroit Pistons. You have the front court down pat with Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond. You have a lot of money tied into your front court, but they definitely are the best aspect of your team so far. Moving on, the Miami Heat defeated the Orlando Magic 90-89 in regulation. Very close game, but Rodney McGruder, He had 19 points from the Miami Heat. Very solid game, actually, coming off of the bench. Played 27 minutes. Very good contributor. Had 8 rebounds. Had 5 assists in that one. Hassan Whiteside struggled. And it's going to be interesting to see what they do with Hassan Whiteside. He has 6 points. Only made 2 shots. He did shoot a 3. He missed it. Had 13 rebounds. But nobody's questioning Hassan Whiteside grabbing boards. He's going to do that. He's going to average 10 to 12 rebounds per game. Hassan Whiteside is always going to do that. You just have questions with his mobility. You have questions with his motor and how hard he's going to want to play, how bad he wants to be there. And then him just spacing out the floor and being able to knock down these threes, how today's game is changing. They want guys who could guard a perimeter big, and they want guys who could stretch out the floor. Hassan Whiteside definitely struggles from that aspect. Kelly Olynyk, who they paid a ton of money to, he knocked down 2 threes, so he was able to stretch out the floor. But overall, the Miami Heat, they came away with a win, but they still looked less satisfying, I would say, in that win last night. Goran Dragic, he led the team. We'll see if his name keeps coming up in those Jimmy Butler talks. Justice Winslow, he may be getting a contract extension. That is the rumor that we are hearing right now. He had 11 points last night, had 4 rebounds. Bam Adebayo, he looked decent as well. Had 6 points, had 5 rebounds, played 24 minutes. Still undersized, but I still like how Bam plays. I think he can definitely be productive as the years go on. But overall, like I said, Dwayne Wade, 8 points. He was minus 13 plus minus on the court. Really didn't look that great. They lost to the Orlando Magic, who also didn't look that great. The only really bright spot last night was Nikolai Vucevic. He had 22 points. He looked pretty good from the Orlando Magic, doing what he typically does, have 14 rebounds. Jerian Grant, the only other bright spot for the Orlando Magic, he has 17 points. But other than that, Mo Bamba, he played 23 minutes, didn't make a huge impact out there on the court. Of course, he's still a rookie. Things will happen. Aaron Gordon, he just got paid. You want him to step up a little bit more than he's been doing during the preseason. Shot 5 of 17, 2 for 7 from the three-point line, had 12 points, had 8 rebounds, 4 assists. But once you start making the type of money Aaron Gordon is making, you want him to kind of take that step forward. And so far, he looks like the same player from last year. He doesn't look like that player that is taking that step in the right direction. Going on to the final 3 games, you had the Wizards taking on the New York Knicks. The Wizards end up winning this one 110-98. So a very solid game for the Washington Wizards. They did what you expect them to do. Everybody got involved. John Wall had 14 points, 9 assists. Bradley Beal, 20 points, 7-10 shooting. You had Otto Porter contribute 12 points. You had Green contribute 16 points. Even looked at the bench. Kelly Oubre had 13 points. Everybody got involved. This Wizards team is looking like maybe they could finally put the pieces together. Dwight Howard did have a setback to that lower back injury, and now it looks like Dwight Howard may miss opening night from the Washington Wizards. So definitely keep your eyes on that one. Hasn't played yet. We'll see how he affects this team. But it looks like they are finally maybe on the same page. Maybe they're trying to finally win a championship this year. That has been the biggest Achilles heel for Washington. Can they get on the same page? Can they stop fighting behind the scenes? At least on the court, they look like it. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but on the court, they look like a much better team. The New York Knicks, they looked okay. Tim Hardaway, he led the way with 18 points. Alonzo Trier, he looked good again coming off the bench. I definitely think you're going to have to release somebody for this kid out of Arizona. Looked very, very good the last few games. He's just on a 2-way deal right now. You have to release somebody with a guaranteed contract to keep him on your team. But 28 minutes, 18 points, 7 of 11 shooting, 4 assists, 2 rebounds, 2 steals. This kid is going to force his way into the lineup, and he definitely does deserve it. He's been playing very, very solid, so I do expect them to keep him. The Sacramento Kings, they end up beating Maccabi last night, 132-100. Once again, you play a non-NBA team, so you're going to look better than you really are. Sacramento Kings, though, I mean, they're a young team. You're going to have ups and downs. Buddy Hill last night was the guy who had his up, came off the bench, shot 9 of 11, 4 for 4 from the three-point line, had 22 points. He was plus 25 on the night. Justin Jackson, he looked good with 18 points. De'Aaron Fox struggled with his shot, but I do like the fact that he is shooting more. He looked pretty good. Marvin Bagley, he had 12 points as well. Very young team. They're going to have their ups and downs. I don't see them making that push yet, but they'll definitely be a good team and a very entertaining team to watch. Then the final game from last night was the Phoenix Suns. They end up winning 117-109 over the Golden State Warriors. And the Phoenix Suns, the same thing. DeAndre Ayton looked very, very solid out there. 18 points, 7 rebounds. He got you a block. He got you 2 steals. DeAndre Ayton is definitely the real deal, you guys. You can't really sleep on him at all. Shaquille Harrison, he played the point guard role. He had 4 points, had 5 assists. Trevor Ariza had 17. Ryan Anderson, yes, Ryan Anderson, he had a pretty big game. He knocked down 4 threes. Anytime you do that from that power forward position, it's definitely going to help you out. Also, still no Devin Booker, but there are some reports that maybe Devin Booker could play for the season opener. That would definitely be huge. TJ Warren, he had a good game coming off of the bench as well. Phoenix Suns, going to be a sneaky team. I don't think they're ready yet, but they're definitely going to be a lot better than some people expect this season, and they're very, very entertaining to watch. For the Golden State Warriors, of course, you had some guys out there playing. Everybody did not play. No Draymond Green, no Livingston, no Iguodala, no Klay Thompson. They all sat out. You did have Steph Curry. He had 23 points, 3 of 8 from the 3-point line. You did have Kevin Durant, 5 of 10, had 12 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. Really nothing else was given to you from the Golden State Warriors. Tyler Ulis, he did play against his former team, the Suns. He had 4 points and 1 assist coming off of the bench. And then Quinn Cook, he also contributed 11 points for you. But that was all the games from yesterday. We do have a nice slate of games tonight as well. It's going to be entertaining to watch. Only 3, but there's definitely going to be some entertaining ones. The Houston Rockets, they're going to play the Sharks. That's a huge game that you want to watch right there. But one game I am interested to see, and that's going to be at 8 o'clock Eastern time on NBA TV, the OKC Thunder and the Milwaukee Bucks. I still don't expect Russell Westbrook to play in that one, but the Thunder have been looking good. Dennis Schroeder has been looking very, very good so far for the Thunder, and that's looking like one of the moves of the offseason, getting rid of Carmelo Anthony and bringing in Dennis Schroeder. That's a very solid move. The Milwaukee Bucks, they're 2-0. They've been looking very good with Chris Middleton and, of course, Giannis Antetokounmpo, looking very solid. That's going to be an entertaining one to watch. And then at 10:30, 7:30 Pacific time, you have the Denver Nuggets and the LA Clippers. That is going to be a pretty good one to watch as well. The Nuggets, they've been looking pretty good. Clippers, they've been looking pretty good as well. So those are the 3 games from tonight. But that is everything that we have for today's episode. As always, if you would like to stay connected, make sure you go ahead and follow me on Twitter at DLloydTV. That is DLLOYDTV. And if you want to stay up to date with all the latest news, transactions, rumors, all that good stuff, make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel at DLloydNBA. That is all that we have for today. Again, we will be back tomorrow recapping these games and keeping you guys up to date with the latest transactions around the National Basketball Association. Until then, I'll see you guys tomorrow. Peace.